And we're back. It's another week. This is Andrew Wood, Executive Director of Hope Resource Center. Thank you so much for tuning in. You can learn more about Hope Resource Center at investinghope.com. You can find us on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram, all of those places. And then we'll, of course, have this show up on podcast by the end of the week. You can find it on iTunes and other places, as well as our website. So, or you can listen right now online at wrjz.com. You can listen on Joy 620 AM. So plenty of places to find the show and listen to what we have to say and what's going on at Hope and what's going on around the country for life. And so, again, we do appreciate you tuning in. So last week we talked about marriage, and we talked about Valentine's, and we talked about how we are to love our neighbor and all of that. This week, what I want to do is I want to touch on a couple things. One being our 20th anniversary and the banquet that's coming up in April. I want to quickly touch on that. Also want to look at some legislation that's being looked at and discussed in Illinois that again, is just something that, even though it's happening in Illinois, it's happening. It's not happening here in Tennessee, but it is something that we need to look at, because when we see these pieces of legislation occur, so when we see these, what I would call anti-life legislation, when we see these things happening around the country, we need to be watching, because right now we are in a good place in the state of Tennessee, and we have pro-life legislators and pro-life governor, and we're at a good spot right now. But that may not always be the case. And so when we look at legislation being passed and debated around the country, I think it's important. It's important that we not, I guess, put down our guard, that we keep an eye on what's going on. Just like legislation that passes in California that affects pregnancy centers at some point could find its way here. And legislation in Illinois that is attacking life and that is allowing for taxpayer-funded abortions is something that we need to not just gloss over, but absolutely need to focus on. And so that's where I want to start, is looking at legislation in Illinois. And there's an article at the ERLC, and you can go to a number of different places and find information about this legislation. But there's an article written by Meredith Flynn at the ERLC, ERLC.com, that talks about this, and it says pro-life advocates in Illinois are urging lawmakers to oppose legislation that would allow the use of public money to fund abortions. Illinois House Bill 40, currently awaiting a vote by the state's House of Representatives, would strike from state law. Now hear this. This is what this law would do. It would strike from state law, a provision that says Illinois medical assistance program cannot pay for abortions. The bill would also allow state workers' health insurance plans to include coverage for abortions. So what that says is that state money, state taxpayer money, whether you're pro-life, pro-choice, or you don't really give a rip about the issue at all, what this law says is your tax dollars can pay for abortions. Illinois Right to Life is one of the pro-life organizations that oppose this law, of course, and it's HB 40, House Bill 40. They said it's the most extreme abortion expanding bill that they've ever seen. What it does is it provides free abortions for those on Medicaid for any reason through all 9 months of pregnancy. Now hear that. A lot of times we talk about this issue on this show, and we talk about how folks will like to call me an extremist because I'm pro-life in every case. And we discuss how we are labeled the extreme branch of pro-life movement. We're labeled as extreme simply because we are pro-life. But they don't see the irony. They don't see that they are extreme by saying that abortion should be free for those on Medicaid for any reason through all 9 months of pregnancy. Notice it doesn't say rape, incest, life of the mother. It doesn't say, you know, if they find out something is wrong. It says for any reason through all 9 months of pregnancy. And we've seen through polls and different studies that the vast majority of the populace would say there's some kind of, we need some kind of reform some kind of restriction on abortion. And we certainly shouldn't be having abortions late-term abortions. But yet Illinois is looking to pass this law. And then it says, Medicaid funds cover medically necessary abortions or those in cases of rape, incest, or pregnancy that endangers the mother's life. That's what the state currently does. So the cost of House Bill 40, if passed, could be huge in terms of lives lost. It's unlimited, so our estimates are showing this could increase the number of abortions by 12,000 abortions a year. That's how many abortions were provided under Medicaid in 1978, the last time the law allowed such coverage in Illinois. Currently, Medicaid covers 108 abortions a year in Illinois. The bill was first proposed in March 2015, but failed to pass the General Assembly. It was reintroduced in 2016 with a new provision that would allow Illinois to continue to perform abortions should the U.S. Supreme Court overturn Roe v. Wade. So what they're saying is we want to affirm that Illinois is a state where abortion will be safe and accessible. This is what the bill sponsor said. There has never been such a threat to a woman's right to choose as there is under what she is saying, the current president. And then the pro-life folks said the provision is one way the bill sponsors are appealing to their fellow legislators. That's how they're getting a lot of representatives to sign on to it, by saying we have to keep abortion legal in Illinois. Now listen to this. Think about this for just a second. Okay, I am pro-life as they come. You all know that. You hear me talk about it every single week. But they are doing this. They're trying to motivate support for this law by arguing that somebody's taking the right of abortion away. Even if the Supreme Court nominee Gorsuch is appointed and actually confirmed by the Senate and is put on the Supreme Court. Let's say that happens. And then let's say that happens in 3, 4, 5 months. He gets on the court. That doesn't mean the very next day the abortion is going to go away. It means there needs to be then a case that is brought and that makes its way to the Supreme Court. So let's say a case somehow miraculously gets brought to the Supreme Court very soon after Gorsuch is put on the court. We have a majority, but a very limited majority. I don't even know, and I would be willing to bet, we wouldn't see Roe v. Wade overturned with just one Supreme Court appointee. And the reason I say that is, when Scalia was alive, Justice Scalia was on the court, and we had what we would call a majority for those that stand for life. Justice Scalia, a lion of the law, Justice Scalia, one of the most conservative justices this country has ever seen. But yet we didn't overturn Roe v. Wade during his tenure. And so this is fear-mongering. This is pushing a narrative that just is false and not true. You can push a narrative that, well, we have to keep abortion a right. We have to keep abortion legal in Illinois. Even if Roe v. Wade was overturned, if Roe v. Wade was overturned tomorrow, do you know what that means? It means it goes back to the states. And then the states would decide. And I would be willing to bet Illinois would be okay with abortion. So their argument on its face is false. And it's not being honest with the people. It's not being honest with their constituents. And so what they're doing is they're trying to take advantage of, and from a political standpoint, if I can put my political hat on, that makes sense. They're trying to take advantage of a very hostile environment currently around the country with people upset about who won the election, and we're 32 days out of a new president, and you have a large swath of the country that's upset. You have a large swath of the country that is excited, and so they're trying to take advantage of that. And let's be honest, in that area of Illinois, there's a lot of folks that would not be happy with the current president. And so what they're trying to do is take advantage of that, and they're getting people to sign on by saying things like, we have to keep abortion legal in Illinois. No one is saying it's going to be illegal. No one. And the bill doesn't just say, hey, if Roe v. Wade were to be overturned, we want to make sure abortion stays legal in the state of Illinois. It doesn't say that. What the bill says is not only do we want abortion to be legal in the state of Illinois, we want our taxpayers to pay for the abortion for those on Medicaid. We want our state health plan to take care of abortion. And you know what? We want it to be taken care of at any point during the pregnancy and during all nine months of the pregnancy for any reason at any time. And we want the taxpayer to pay for that. Oh, and by the way, we want to keep abortion legal in the state of Illinois. That's what the bill says. So again, let's have an honest discussion about this issue and not one that is pushing false narratives. Another troubling aspect of House Bill 40 for the pro-life community is that it removes language from the Illinois abortion law of 1975 that identifies the unborn child as a human being from the time of conception and therefore entitled to the right of life from conception under state law. So the article asks this question, or makes this statement. If we have to ask ourselves what kind of cultural narrative this is creating in Illinois, noting that unborn children are considered human beings in homicide laws, but now some are arguing that personhood application doesn't extend to cases of abortion. So that's where we are as a society, and we talked about this last week with our life ethic. Where does personhood begin? And if you take personhood away from someone at any stage, then what you're opening the door to is personhood can be removed at any point in time. And that's what we're seeing with this piece of legislation, is that personhood, whether it's at conception or 9 months, while the baby is 9 months in the womb, they're saying that no longer is a person. So that is where we are as a society. So I think any logical person would say, you know, if we had a real conversation about this, some would say, yes, obviously there needs to be restrictions of some sort. Abortion does not need to be birth control. But now where we're reaching a point where some lawmakers in this country are saying, yeah, you know what? There shouldn't be any restrictions. You should be able to have an abortion for whatever reason at any point in time. And the scary part is there's doctors out there that will do it. Think about that. There's doctors out there like Kermit Gosnell up in Philadelphia. There's doctors out there that are willing and doing right now around the country late-term abortions and are okay with that. That's not helpful for our society. It's not helpful for the unborn, certainly, and it's not helpful for those moms in need. And so when we see legislation like this, the best thing to do is have a logical, sane conversation, not one that is pushing false narratives and untruths, but actually willing to have a conversation framed on honesty and intellectual consistency. We'll be back in a sec.
So afraid that you will not be found. It won't be long before your sun goes down. Just leave it to me.
Hold me together. And we're back. It's Andrew Wood, Executive Director of Hope Free Source Center. Again, thank you for listening. So the first segment we focused on the piece of legislation in Illinois that we'll probably not find it's in there. I mean, and I don't know if it'll pass. I think it's up for debate tomorrow. And again, the what we need around this country is honest debate on issues. And so that could be a number of different things or a number of different issues. And so if you look across the landscape right now, you have so many polarizing issues, whether it be immigration, refugees, abortion and life and Obamacare and fill in the blank. I mean, there's so many issues out there that you have very heated arguments about. But what you don't see is rational adults sitting down and saying, how can we have this conversation? So we've created this moment in time where no matter what you say, you are pigeonholed into a certain label. And the thing that really gets me is we are at a point now where you have people on the right, people on the left calling people snowflakes and calling people, you know, saying they get triggered and all these things. But the reality is there's people on both sides that are getting triggered. I mean, just go to Facebook. There's people on both sides that are little snowflakes that can't have a legitimate, logical conversation about certain issues. And so what we have to do, especially on the life issue, and that's the one I'm going to focus on, obviously, because of Hope and what we do at Hope Resource Center, we are never going to reach a point of agreement of any kind. We're never going to reach a point of common ground of any kind if we're not willing to have a rational, adult, logical conversation. And so am I very passionate about this issue? Absolutely. But I would love to sit down with someone that disagrees with me and have a logical, thoughtful conversation on the issue of life and abortion. And be able to walk away not hating each other. Because that's what we need in society. We don't need people on the left running to their political corners and people on the right running to their political corners and just looking to attack each other. That's not going to help. What we need is people to sit down and say, you know what, we need to have this conversation. And so when we look at issues surrounding abortion and surrounding life, we have to at some point get to a place where we're willing to say, yes, I am pro-life in every circumstance, but I would love to hear your perspective. Or maybe you have someone say, look, I'm pro-choice in every circumstance, but I'd love to hear your perspective. And even though you may not convince each other, at least we should be able to get to a point where we're saying, okay, we can at least now understand each other's perspective. You know, we like to look at 2017, 2016, 2017 is one of the most volatile political seasons we've ever seen. Now, granted, maybe in my lifetime, maybe in people that were born in the, I wasn't born in the 90s, but maybe people that were born in the 90s or early 2000s, for in their lifetime, it may be. But, I mean, back in the day, we had people have duels. I mean, they shot each other. And so we're at least not there. But even when I was in college, in the early, 2002, 2003 range, I remember going to I was a political science major, and I remember going to some movie or something, I don't even remember what it was now, something was shown or there was some political person there speaking, and I remember walking out of the event, and there was a crowd circling around these two people debating, right? So you have political science, you know, majors, that's all we wanted to do was debate and beat somebody and show that we were smarter and that we knew more. And so we're all circled up and we're watching these two people debate, and it got to a point where one of the person sitting there smacked the other one. So it was two guys and one of them smacked the other one, which is silly that guys would do that. But that's what happened. And so I'm watching that. Even in like 2003, somewhere in there. So even then, it was very volatile. It was a heated argument. But as adults, we shouldn't get to that point. We should be able to say, look, I disagree with you and here's why. And then they can look at us and say, look, I disagree with you and here's why. Or I agree with you and here's why. But not to the point where we want to smack or punch each other or fight each other or break windows or burn police cars or anything like that. It's just silly. And so if you allow yourself to get caught up in all of that, then the issue ultimately that you're pushing is not going to find a winning place. Why? Because you've pushed everybody away. And trust me, I say this from experience. That's what I used to do. Every conversation that I ever was in, and that's my wife, especially early on in our marriage, every conversation, it didn't matter who we were with, I somehow brought it to the political spectrum. Of people that didn't even want to go there. But by golly, you're going to be in my presence. We're going to talk about these heated arguments and these heated issues. And so what that does is that turns people away. Instead of looking at them and saying, hey, let's talk about, you know, how do you feel about this? How do you feel about that? And not being angry at them if they disagree with you. That doesn't water down the truth. That doesn't water down our message. But again, if we believe, if we have a pro-life ethic that says personhood begins at conception and that all life has value, if we truly believe that, then the conversations that we have with people should also show that, which means the people that I adamantly disagree with, I mean, people that set up abortion clinics, the people that are fighting in opposition to everything I stand for, we're still made in the image of God. Now, if you don't have a biblical worldview, that doesn't even make sense to you. That's crazy talk. But if you have a biblical worldview, then they were made in the image of God, and that matters to me. And although I may disagree with them, they are not my enemy. They may be lost. They may need Jesus. But they're not an enemy. They're just somebody that we disagree with. And so that's the standpoint that I'm coming from when I see legislation in Illinois or in California or in other parts of the country. And I get upset about that because they know what they're doing. They're doing that to shut us up. They're doing that to close our doors. And I get that. And then we have people on our side that are seeking to pass legislation that would ultimately close the doors of abortion clinics. So, but let's at least be honest about that. Let's not hide it in some kind of veil that we're not being truthful and honest about those things. I tell people all the time, the mission at Hope Resource Center is not to close the doors of abortion clinics. Our mission is to serve the men and women of this community. And guess what? If we do our job well, they're going to close. We've seen that. 2012, abortion clinic across the road from Hope Resource Center closed its doors. And so those things will happen, but I don't get up every day going, man, how can I close down all the abortion clinics? I get up every day and say, how can we make Hope better? And how can we serve our patients better? How can we serve this community better? And we've been doing that for 20 years now, and we're able to serve because of people like you. We're able to serve because of churches. We're able to serve because of businesses, because of folks standing with us. And so that's our focus. And then we look at legislation and we go, okay, what legislation should I support that's going to stand for life and not stand in the opposition of life? But when we do that, let's frame that with truth and honesty and intellectual consistency. Because that's when we see a difference being made. That's when we see people come over to our side. Because they see honesty. And honesty is an attractive quality. We'll be back in a sec. And I praise you. And we're back. It's Andrew Wood, Executive Director of Hope Resource Center. Again, you can learn more about Hope at investinghope.com. We'll have this show up on podcast tomorrow, or at least by the end of the week. You can find it on iTunes and also on our website, investinghope.com. Again, we thank you for listening. So what we've been talking about today is some legislation and personhood and having logical, rational conversations on issues that matter greatly to us, which obviously the life and abortion issue is certainly one that takes a lot of our time and conversation. And so the reason why we are so passionate about that, the reason why we do the work that we do at Hope Resource Center. And the reason why we opened our doors in 1997 is because we love this community. And so all the way back 20 years ago, someone said, a group of people said, look, we need to be doing more than what we're doing for the pro-life movement. And so what that brought them to was a point of saying, how can we best serve men and women in this community? How can we best serve the unborn in this community? And so they opened up Hope Resource Center. And in doing so, they said it's not good enough to be on the sidelines. We need to get to work. If we want to say that we love these people, the men and women of this community and the unborn, if we believe that, then let's do something about it. And so in doing that, we've been able to serve almost 25,000 patients since 1997. And so coming up in April, we are having a banquet to celebrate 20 years. And we're going to have hopefully a ton of people there. And we're just going to talk about and in the work that we do. We'll hear from a patient and get to meet them and see what, kind of what God has done in their life. And what I love about that is the people that come to the banquet typically are donors to Hope Resource Center, supporters, volunteers, some prayer partners. They go to the churches that help support us. And so what it does is it allows them an opportunity to meet with, and meet with our staff and see some patients. And it's just a great moment for people to get to know about the work that we do. And also every year at the banquet is it gives an opportunity for some folks to be introduced to Hope Resource Center and the work that we do. So they find out that we have pregnancy tests and ultrasounds and STD testing and treatment and parenting classes and mentoring and baby showers and all of those things. And so they find out about those things at the banquet. And then they learn, okay, how can I help? How can I support? How can I give? And there's plenty of options out there. And so what that looks like for some is we're working on a new model with our volunteers. And so we want to have church liaisons, someone within the church that can be our go-to person. If we need diapers or if we need mentors or if we need prayer partners, if we need a baby bottle campaign, we can go to that member of the congregation and say, look, can you get this in front of your church? That also looks like sponsoring baby showers. So like last week, we threw 5 baby showers. And it was so great to see a group of women come in and decorate the room for the baby showers. And to see a group of folks come in and provide the food for the baby shower. And then all the items that were given to the patients, the car seats, the pack and plays, the bathtubs, the diaper bags, the diapers, the wipes, the clothes, and all of those things were donated by individuals and churches in this community. And so what those patients understood after leaving the baby shower is not only does Hope Resource Center love me and care for me, but there's a community here in Knoxville that cares deeply about my well-being and the well-being of my unborn child. And so what we got to see was the fruit of your work. And what our patients got to see is I do matter. My baby does matter. Someone cares about me. And so what also we're looking for with volunteers is prayer partners. That's how I got connected with Hope Resource Center. I called and said, what can I do? And this was years ago. And they said, we'd love for you to come and pray. And so that's what I did. We need prayer. Our staff needs prayer. Our patients need prayer. Our strategic planning needs prayer. And so we would love for you to do that. Some of you are listening and saying, man, I would love to pour into these patients. I'd love to mentor these patients. Maybe you have a story in your own life of somebody that mentored you and it changed your life and you want to give back. You want to do that. Maybe your story is similar to our patient's story, and that would be a great opportunity for you to speak truth to them and love on them. A lot of times the word discipleship is scary. And it scares us. Well, Jesus made disciples, and I'm not Jesus. Well, but we've been called to make disciples. So mentoring is very similar to that. It just mentoring, the word, doesn't scare us as much and doesn't seem as daunting and intimidating. And so we want you to come in and mentor if that's a gifting of yours. And we have training that can help you with that. And after that training, we'll know and you'll know if that is a gifting and if that is something you need to do. And there's nothing wrong with it if it's not, because we can plug you in somewhere else. Some of you may be listening today and saying, you know what? The best thing I can provide is a regular donation every single month. The best thing I can provide is a one-time gift every single year. The best thing I can provide is some type of monetary donation, maybe a Target gift card or a Walmart gift card or a Babies R Us gift card. Those things obviously would be beneficial to Hope as well. So there's plenty of ways to get involved. One area that we just got this earlier late last week is we now have a text option to give. And so right now, if you text 865-234-3033, if you text a dollar amount to that number, you will then be asked to fill out a quick one-time registration of your debit card or credit card. And then any point after that, all you got to do is text an amount to that number, and you're donating to Hope. It's that easy. From your phone, a quick text, and you can donate money to Hope Resource Center. And it comes off the card you want. It's not your phone bill or anything like that. It comes off the card that you register with that account. And so there's plenty of options to get involved at Hope Resource Center. And I bring all these up after I brought up the legislation issue and the issue of, are we prepared to have logical, rational adult conversations with each other and not hate each other and not see the other side as our enemy? Are we prepared to have those conversations? I bring all of this up about getting involved at Hope now because what I want you to understand is having that conversation, having that debate, having that discussion with your neighbor, with your family member, with your coworker, those things are beneficial. But we also need to put action to our words. And so if we believe this is an issue that's going to define a generation, and I do, and if we believe that the people that are directly affected by abortion are more important than the issue itself, then it's not enough. It's not enough just to debate the issue. We must go further and get involved and seek to love and seek to give and seek to help those in need. And we see plenty of them on a regular basis at Hope Resource Center. And so if you want to be a part of that, that's a great way. Go to investinghope.com. Email me, andrew@knoxvillehope.com. I'd love to have that conversation with you. We'd love to have you partner with us in this work. Because it is. It's important work. And not only are babies being saved, and I think at times that is what is focused on the most, and that's certainly something we need to focus on. It's certainly something we need to celebrate. But that's not just happening. What's also happening is these moms, these young women are being shown that they have value. And these young women are being shown that they matter. One of the baby showers last week, one of our patients wanted to invite some of her friends because she said this is the only shower that she would get. And even after inviting friends, she said, you know, I don't think any of them will come. And you know what? They came, and the room was full. So what she was able to see is, wow, people at Hope love me. The community loves me because some folks came in here and decorated and provided food, and they provided all these items for the baby shower. But what she was also able to see is the people in my life love me. And that sounds pretty simple, but for a lot of our patients, that is not the normal, that is not reality to them. And so reality to our patients a lot of times is there is no support system. There is no one there. But what they're able to find when they get to Hope Resource Center is that people care deeply about them, that the church cares deeply about them, that the community cares deeply about them. And so that's what we're able to provide because of people like you. And so the great thing about all of that is now we are in our 20th year. We are celebrating 20 years of hope. Think about that. 20 years of hope. Over 25,000 patients have been seen because of your gifts, because of the local church, because of businesses, because of all of that. We're able to still serve the men and women of this community. And we're able to see lives transformed. We're able to see lives saved. And we are beyond grateful for that. Beyond grateful to stand with you for life, for the 20th year. And so also coming up in a couple weeks on March 8th, we are having a benefit concert. And we're partnering with Basswood Church and Between You and Me, which is a local folk duo. And so we're going to be doing that on March 8th. So we're having a lot of people come together to say life has value. And so is it important to look at the legislation that's being passed around the country? Absolutely. That's why I spent 30 minutes on it tonight, because it is important. But what's even more important is looking at that and saying, okay, I'm not okay with that, and I want to vote for pro-life people, and I want to support pro-life judges, and I want to support pro-life governors, and all of those things. But then we have to get ourselves to a point where we say, but I also want to get involved. I also want to help out a pregnancy center in some shape, form, or fashion. And folks, you have one, for those of you here in Knoxville, you have one right here. And we are so thankful that you stand with us. We'll be back.
Lord of life, Lord of all, He is the Prince of Peace.
Hey, we're back. It's Andrew Wood with Hope Resource Center. Again, thank you for listening. We're about to end the show, and so we talked about a number of things tonight, but I guess the main takeaway is it's a both and, right? So we are to be pro-life. We should be. If we're pro-life, that includes the way you vote. That includes, you know, Supreme Court justices and all of that. But it's not just that. And I know at times I sound like a broken record, and we touch on that a lot, but it's important to note that if we are pro-life, then let's really do that. Let us not one day look back and go, wow, I could have done so much more with my time, with my money, with my prayers. Let our kids and grandkids not look back and say, what were you doing while this was going on? What were you doing while legislation was being passed in Illinois that said abortion should be not only allowed at any stage of the pregnancy, but it should be paid for by the taxpayer? Let our kids and grandkids not look at us one day and say, what were you doing while 3,000 babies were being aborted every day? Let our kids and grandkids not look at us one day and say, what were you doing? What were you doing when men and women were being targeted and preyed upon in communities to be coerced into terminating their pregnancy? There is much work to do. But I will say this, we are seeing a lot of positive. And so we would love for you to join us at Hope Resource Center, whether that be through financial giving or volunteering or praying or helping out with baby showers, being the church liaison. You know, there's a number of different ways to do that. And so I would encourage you to pray through that, look through that. What does that mean for you and your family? I had lunch today with a couple that simply looked at me and said, all the options you just said are great with us. You tell us where you need us. So they came to that lunch meeting saying, I'm here, how can I serve? Not, I'm here, how can I be served? And you see that mindset, and we talked about that mindset before in churches. A lot of times we go to church, and I've been guilty of this. I'm here, now serve me, instead of saying, I'm here, how can I serve? How can I help? And so that lunch meeting I had today was great, because they came and said, I'm here, how can I best serve Hope Resource Center? I'm going to have coffee with a couple pastors tomorrow. And I know their heart. And so it's going to be a conversation of, I'm here, how can we best serve Hope Resource Center? How can we best help? I spoke at a church this past Sunday. And it's a church that gives on a regular basis. And they allowed me time to speak to the congregation because their thought process is one of, this is an issue that matters to us. How can we serve? How can we help? And so if that is what you're walking through in your own life, in your own family, and thinking about how best can I serve, well, let's have the conversation. Let's see. Maybe some of you, let's just be honest, some of you have no business mentoring our patients, and there's nothing wrong with that. But some of you could really plan an amazing baby shower. Some of you would be a great church liaison. Some of you would be an amazing prayer warrior. Some of you would be an amazing person to just say, look, I can fund you however you need to be funded. Whether that be a check or a gift card or whatever that looks like, I can help you. Some of you are following that camp, and that's all great. We've been doing this for 20 years now. We just want partners in this community as we seek to serve the men and women that are in need. Why? Because they were made in the image of God, and they matter to us. And the unborn baby matters to us. And so we are just grateful for your partnership, and we look forward to 20 more years. And in between now and April, I'm going to be talking more about the banquet, what that looks like, if you want a table host, if you want to come and join us for that, and how to sign up. And also we'll be talking about the benefit concert that's coming up. And so a number of different things happening at Hope Resource Center that we want you to be a part of. And so we are, again, just thankful that you're doing that and that you're helping us out. So as you think through those things and as you pray through those things, reach out to us. Look us up, investinghope.com. Look us up on Facebook and Twitter and other places and really see where you best can join us. We thank you so much. We'll talk to you soon.